Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Pharma Cielo 2020 Shareholder Q&A. For the duration of the call, all lines are in listen-only mode. Please note that questions have been provided in advance, and management will answer these questions as provided. A reminder, shareholders will not be able to queue up for questions on this call. If at any time during this call you require immediate assistance, please press star zero for the operator. I would now like to turn the conference over to Chief Executive Officer David Attard. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. And I would like to, first of all, thank you for participating in this follow-up call. Let me first begin by expressing my apologies to those individuals who were having some technical difficulties in hearing the AGM call last week. So our apologies on that matter. Having said that, that's what prompted this follow-up call, just so that we could share some of the, you know, get some of the feedback and some of the questions that was expressed by you and share back with all those involved. The format for this session is primarily going to be centered around just talking about the general themes. We got a few questions, and what we did is that we pulled them together into general thematics that we will address to all investors with our response from management. And then once again, we won't be giving, you know, guidance on in terms of the company's performance, but we do encourage all investors to participate in our Q2 call at the end of this month. So with that said, I'm just going to kind of go into some of the themes and some of the general topics that were brought to our attention. There's a series of questions centered around global market developments in terms of, you know, what, how are things progressing. I will share that basically, you know, there's no doubt that we're seeing progression within the global markets, albeit things have been moving slower than planned. I think, you know, we look at places in like North America, primarily vis-a-vis the United States, where we are starting to see some momentum, but still we're waiting to hear from the FDA, from the federal government in terms of legalizing cannabis or even CBD for that matter. And so we think that there is tremendous opportunity in these markets and things are progressing, but they're not progressing as quickly as we would like. Having said that, we're still seeing that there is still a lot of fluctuation globally, different countries, different legal regimes, and different infrastructures that are in place. And so, you know, but we still think that there is need for some standardization. Having said that, you know, we think the momentum is there. We're starting to see Europe come together to become a little bit more unified in terms of the requirements, but it is taking a little bit longer than planned. COVID has not helped that situation. Having said that, you know, we do think that, you know, it is a, there's a good platform which we are pretty optimistic in terms of the trends that we're seeing in the U.S., in Europe, in Latin America for that matter, which we think gives us a good opportunity where we can participate globally on that level. So really the position is that, you know, as it relates to the political environment, the regulatory environment, you know, there's still some fluctuation and a lack of standardization, but it is evolving and progressing well on that front. Another question was centered around, you know, business progress and how are we, you know, developing. I think we've made some, you know, material milestones this year. You know, as we have announced, you know, this morning, the expansion of our cultivation lands with a contract grower has now officially commenced. You know, this immediately increases our cultivation capacity by 32% to 15 hectares from our current 12. But then also with this contract grower, that also doubles our capacity from the 12 hectares that we currently have under cultivation, you know, to 24 once that land becomes fully licensed this year. So I think that's great progress. Over and above that, it's, you'll see that we've made some good progress on the processing center where we are basically nearing the completion, you know, where we're nearing the completion of the processing center that's going to be happening at the end of this month. With that, we've also been able to confirm that we have some good capacity out of that, generating at around, you know, being able to process around 360,000 tons of biomass on an annualized basis. So when you start looking at that, you're looking at over 30,000 kilos of extracted product that we'll be able to support on a go-forward basis. Are we producing that today? Absolutely not, but we will, obviously, as we tend to increase capacity as we get more biomass into that system. You know, other progresses that we've made to date is obviously, you know, when we look at the processing center is, you know, having that ready for GMP. Our schedule for that one is to be have the facility completed by the end of this month, of which case we will then, you know, basically have that ready for submission for GMP certification by the end of Q3, and hopefully to get that by the end of the year or early Q1 next year. No doubt that COVID-19 has had an impact on us, but we are making good progress, and we are happy to say that, you know, the facility is operational today, and will basically be, you know, near, basically completed by the end of this month. As it relates to COVID-19, I think there was a number of questions in terms of how COVID-19 has impacted our business, and I think this is an important topic. You know, like all businesses, we were not immune to it. It did impact us. It did, no doubt, force us to shut down operations for a few months. We are now, you know, we're happy to say that we've got, you know, operations fully back up and running. Are we still at 100%? No, but we are basically, you know, operating at a much better pace than we were a couple of months ago. So we are cultivating, we are extracting again. You know, construction is basically finished or is basically finalizing on the processing center. And basically what's happening is that we resumed operations. I think one of the most material impacts has, you know, that COVID has had is our ability on the business development front, because it did hamper our ability to finalize contracts. You know, basically conversations were slowed down materially, and it was an important, you know, setback for us. But the good news is that, you know, those conversations have resurrected. We're having a lot of good conversations, and we feel very optimistic about the next quarters. Also, the impact that COVID had on our operation was primarily on supply chain. That probably had the biggest impact, and where we just were unable to ship product out. You know, that was a big concern for us on that front, but what we're seeing now is that those supply chain routes are opening up again, nowhere near to the stage that they were at before COVID, but they are opening up now where we are being able to ship product out on that front, and so we feel a bit more confident in terms of our ability to ship product and fulfill some of our sales contracts already. You know, with that, I would say that for the most part, COVID, we've been able to manage it as best we can. We did have some delays, but I think the business has done a decent job in terms of managing through it, where we are kind of a little bit more stable now than what we were before. On the topic of around shipping and global market development in terms of what's, you know, our supply chain routes and our ability to get product into other countries, you know, have we had any hurdles or any challenges? No doubt that every country that we market in or that we ship into does, you know, pose unique challenges because every country is different in this current market environment. Having said that, I would say that we haven't had any major challenges in terms of getting the products into the countries where we've needed to. So whether that be in Europe or Eastern Europe or whether that be in Latin America or in North America, we haven't had any major, you know, hiccups or problems, you know, getting our products into, you know, those countries besides the, you know, the fact that there was just limited supply routes into those countries because of COVID-19. So if you separate COVID-19, we don't have any problems getting our products into the countries, and we don't really view that as a hindrance to sales or commercial development. I will say that if anything, it just takes us longer because there is time because it does, you know, it's not just simply a signing a deal and shipping it commercially. What we have to do is do test shipments in very small quantities, see if they get through properly. We're testing the supply chain route, and then we go in with a much larger commercial shipments thereafter. So that does take time, and why there's a slow ramp in terms of on the sales cycle side, because you have to go through a series of tests in terms of not only negotiating with a partner, but you are also, you know, sending samples to them to test in their labs, and then over and above that, then you do trial shipments, and then you kind of get into the commercial shipments while trying to negotiate contracts. So it is a bit of a lengthy process, but we've got it pretty much down to a pretty strong discipline at this point in time, and we do feel that, you know, having any problems, you know, shipping our products around the world isn't a hindrance to the company at this time. You know, in the ability of looking at our cost structure, I mean, it comes out, we have a series of questions in terms of our costs, and the comments that we will make around the cost today is the fact that we are one of the lowest cost providers in the world. You know, at 4 cents per gram of dried flour, coupled with our extraction costs, like, we're still one of the lowest cost providers in the world. We think we've got a best-in-class cost structure, you know, with a $2 million burn rate on a monthly basis. It's not going to take a lot of money or a lot of revenue to make this company profitable. So I think that's kind of where we stand on that. You know, we think that, you know, as we start scaling the business, no doubt costs will increase, but we still think that we'll be able to maintain best-in-class costs for the most part, and feel very confident in that as we continue to invest in new technology, new extraction technologies on that front. You know, and as the one good trend that we see is that as our capacity increases, we do anticipate that our costs will come down even further as we, you know, scale up the operation on that front, especially on the extraction side. There was a series of questions related to the safety and security of Colombia. You know, I think no doubt that in Colombia, like any other country, there's good parts and there's bad parts. Once again, we don't really feel that's a hindrance on our side. We've got very strong support. We've got very good measures in place to not only protect our operations, but to protect our product and protect our people. But I don't want to give the impression that there's any kind of challenge as it relates to Colombia. It's no different than operating any other country, whether that be in the U.S. or that being in Europe for that matter. We feel very confident and safe in the country. The government provides great support for us on that end. And once again, that is not really a material concern for us at this time. We continue to monitor the situations as they, you know, as things develop. We know that there's some, you know, some terrorist activity going on in Colombia, but those are in far out regions that really don't pertain to us, and they're nowhere near where our operations are, so we are not as really concerned on that front. But we do keep, you know, we're actively involved with local government, with local authorities, and making sure that, you know, our interests are protected as relates to our operations, but for the most part, it's pretty much safe and sound. The government provides great support for us, so we have no concerns on that front. There's no doubt about there are some couple of questions relating to, you know, capital markets and our communication. There's no doubt that we've been somewhat quiet and dormant for some time. I think there's a couple of reasons for that, one being that, you know, when we had the earlier short seller attack, we went quiet. I think, you know, we came back with a very strong rebuttal and we kind of proved the short seller report wrong. You know, it was, we had a strong committee that looked at that, but that also gave us some pause to ensure that we went a bit quiet. And coupled that with COVID-19, it really just, you know, what we decided rightly or wrongly was that basically, you know, we wanted to just really focus, you know, keep our heads down, manage through the COVID crisis, focus on our operations, get that done. And as we start seeing, you know, greater momentum going on in the markets as well as with our partners and our discussions, okay, now we need to become more active. So there's no doubt that we have been, you know, not doing a lot of communication in terms of updating you, the shareholders of the company, but that will change, you know, as we're starting to increase our activity with, you know, about the operations and the company and how we're moving for progressing forward strategically as a whole. So with that said, I think, you know, you'll start seeing more activity on our front and then obviously, you know, sharing more results and more activity as it relates to our sales activities and our business development efforts. In terms of the topic, you know, there's a lot of topics around capital raising and cash flow. And I think there is, you know, basically around that is, you know, we completed two rounds of financing. Just for clarity, what ended up happening is that, you know, when we first did the first round of financing earlier this year, our target was to raise $12 million, $12 and $14 million was our target range. We were able to get $8 million on that first round. We really wanted to get 12 to 14, primarily because, you know, to ensure that we could weather the storm through COVID-19. But we didn't get that in the first tranche, so we went back with a second tranche to conclude that. So with that said, you know, are we sitting there planning to do more capital raising? Right now, our focus right now is that we believe we have enough cash to hold us over. Where through sales, we'll start picking up where our goal is to be cash flow positive by the end of the fourth quarter. So with that said, we think we have enough cash to hold us, to help us weather the current storm, but also give us enough cash to, get the sales going and get that cash flow coming in where we're self-sustaining by the end of the fourth quarter. So we remain committed to that goal, and we're not slipping off that as we speak. No doubt there is another series of topics related to the competitive marketplace, and I think that's, we're seeing increased competition. No doubt we've got a lot of players, locally developing, and but once again, we still remain focused on our strategy, which is primarily to be a B2B-focused company supplying extracts to other companies through three primary verticals, that being pharmacies, other LPs, as well as CPGs and other key distributors. That's a focus in the short term, and then we will kind of get into finished products downstream later when we have, obviously more cash and more money to invest in that. But right now, there's no doubt that we're seeing more competition, but given our low cost structure, we remain, absolutely firm that we've got the lowest cost structure. And we've got arguably the largest extraction capacity, not only in Colombia, but also in Latin America, for that matter, and arguably in North America to some extent. So we think that we've got capacity, and knowing that Colombia is only an oil, based product country, it's great to have a lot of biomass, but you can't move flour out of the country. You can only move extracted products. And so that's where we feel that we've got a bigger advantage over some of our competitors who do have extraction capability, but nowhere near to the scale that we have. So we feel very confident in our operational capability and making sure that we can supply, future demand probably better than most other players can right now on that front. In terms of revenue and sales forecast, obviously we're not going to give guidance on the sales forecast, but I will tell you, obviously, as we announced in Q1, we did about $600,000 in revenue in Q1, which is almost basically our entire earnings in 2019. Obviously, we'll be announcing our Q2. I think, if there's any direction I'm going to give is that we are, as I mentioned at the AGM, our plan is to have quarter-over-quarter growth for this year. So we are going to see continued progression on our revenue and sales side. No doubt that a lot of conversations were not going to say stall, but they were basically hindered by COVID-19. But I'm also happy to say that we are in a lot of active conversations with a lot of partners, both in the U.S. as well as in Europe, for that matter. And we feel confident that once we conclude those conversations, that we'll be able to share that news with you in more detail. Having said that, as we're negotiating these longer-term contracts, we're also looking at, short-term spot orders that we're doing right now in the interim to kind of manage the flow. So it does help us manage on the short term while gearing us up for the longer term. So more news to be shared on that, but I will say that, we are pushing for a stronger third quarter and fourth quarter with the goal, once again, to be cash flow positive by year end. So feel confident on that front. As it relates to products, there's a lot of questions around what products we have available. I do think that it's important to note, basically we were, primarily cultivating and extracting one product, and that was CBD isolate. What's good is that, with Henning and under his leadership, obviously we've been working diligently on expanding that product portfolio. It's important that we are moving just beyond, CBD isolate and going into, other extracted products like full spectrum, broad spectrum, not only looking at isolates, but in a single extract format, but also to a variety of blends, which includes some of the diluted products. We think those are critical, and that all of these are going to be based in our CBD and THC land-based strains. So we think that's critical for our not only our current but future growth in the company. So being a one-trick pony wasn't fine in the short term, but going forward, having a broader portfolio to offer our partners is critical and vital, and that's what's going to be key to our long-term success. So now we'll be able to offer, a full suite of products, like full spectrum, broad spectrum, isolates, water soluble, but then obviously looking at blended products as well would be important for our partners, and that's how we're gearing up. And I think that's really what's we're setting the stage for the company and that is to really focus on not only these multiple products, where we're cultivating not only CBD, but also THC-based strains, and then really just focusing on sales and distribution. So I think that's critical, and really broadening our product portfolio will be core to our growth going forward. In the questions around pricing, obviously there are some questions in terms of our pricing strategy. You know, we definitely see different pricing in different markets, and we cater to that. Our goal is not really to materially undercut the market. We don't want to drive the price down, but kind of follow where the market is and be competitive where we have to. So if we're in an intense, you know, price negotiations with a key partner, it's important to note that, you know, every conversation is different. So, you know, there's certain conversations that we have with certain partners where, you know, where you, if you have a strategic partner, you probably will take less margin for that matter because it's more important to have that partner in your roster. But every, you know, we do see a lot of price compression in the United States, primarily because of CBD hemp. You know, we found some ways in terms of how we can do some value-added product. That's kind of why we're going into the broad spectrum into the other varieties, because we feel that there's obviously much better margin in those products than just doing CBD isolate. Obviously, you see different pricing in Europe, but once again, the themes are the same, where isolate in Europe doesn't command as much of a premium as does broad spectrum or full spectrum or looking at different THC strains. So, you know, that's kind of why you're starting to see the transition in terms of how we're pivoting from just being a CBD isolate company to getting into a full suite of different extracts, because that's where obviously there's greater margin, and greater profit for us to hit. And given our low cost structure, it's much more beneficial for us to pursue that. There's some other questions around GMP. As I alluded to earlier, the processing center is basically fully operational as we talk about today. Obviously there's still some minor construction going on in that facility, but basically it will be done by the end of this month. Basically we'll be gearing it up for GMP certification in September. End of September probably is what we're targeting to submit for GMP certification. Once again, once it goes in, doesn't guarantee we're going to get it right away. Obviously, it will be at the mercy of the auditors, but we will say that, you know, definitely we'll have a GMP compliant facility by the end of the third quarter, and then we'll just be waiting for the certification, which, you know, optimistically we could get by year end, but we can't guarantee that, and most likely will fall into early, you know, 2021. Just because we're at the mercy of the auditors from NVIMA to get that certification. And then having said that, we're not ending it there. We'll obviously be pursuing looking at EU GMP certification in 2021 as well after that. So that is going to be our continued progress, and that goes back to the whole issue around, you know, ensuring that we adhere to all the highest of quality standards for not only our cultivation but also for our extraction as well. I also think there was a series of other questions around, you know, management and ownership, and I thought it was important to share with shareholders here. Obviously, there's some questions around what's the inside ownership like, and I believe that under management today, about, you know, 8-10% is under management today. You know, obviously, management still believes fundamentally in the company. We all participated in the last round of financing. You know, questions were around, you know, am I satisfied with management? I think I'll add the comment that we'll never be satisfied with management until we can deliver. I think it's, you know, it's important to note that, you know, we hold ourselves to a very high standard. We hold ourselves, basically, we want to be held accountable. You know, management, obviously, we're going to be looking to make continued, you know, evolutions to the org structure and to management to gear us up for success in the future. So you'll continually see changes in the company, bringing in new leadership, you know, as we did with Henning. We think, you know, Henning's been a tremendous asset to the company. He's helped us progress, you know, on multiple fronts. But we'll continue to evolve the company. And it's important to note that as we start pivoting from being kind of development stage to, you know, focusing more on products and sales and business development, you know, that's where we're putting a lot more effort now and investing in those types of roles and leadership. But having said that, the company will continue to evolve as the industry evolves. And so we're going to continue to invest in management and leadership But it doesn't end there. I also will say this, you know, there's some questions around how is management compensated and bonus. You know, it's I do think that was important to share with you that, you know, we our bonus metrics are based on multiple criteria. It's revenue, it is strategic factors where there's a weighting. There's a weighting on, sorry, revenue on strategic factors, operational factors, and basically employee factors. And that's kind of assessed with our board, and they basically give a quadrant, and that's how they assess our performance. It's important to note that in 2019, nobody in management received a bonus. Management recommended to the board that we don't get bonus. Why? Because we felt that we didn't deliver. We didn't meet expectation, and so no bonuses were awarded. The board agreed that we did not deliver as expected, and so therefore we basically, no bonuses were paid. But having said that, our metrics are across multiple fronts, which looks at revenue, strategic, operational, and employee measures, and that's how we're compensated on those factors. But I also come back to, it's also how, you know, management holds itself accountable. When we deliver, we become safe. When we don't, we won't. And that's kind of where we sit on that front. So I think, you know, it's those were the bulk of the questions that we've got and how we're kind of looking at, you know, from most of you. I mean, I know there's a lot of other some specific questions that we could, that, you know, that we probably didn't address. But basically, it's important to note that, you know, I just have a few closing comments around is that what's important for Farmers CLO is, you know, we're now coming out of the development stage of the company, right? We're basically, we've got cultivation. We're expanding our cultivation through our contract growers now. The processing center is basically done. It's operational, and it's just nearing its final technical, you know, minor issues that are just being kind of finalized. But the whole, you know, development stage of the company is now nearing its end, and we're primarily just focusing a lot, you know, all of our efforts now on commercialization, which is all around business development, commercialization, products, product development, and supporting our partners globally, whether that be in Europe and or in the United States, you know, and also in Latin America. So those kind of remain to be our three main focus areas, and that's what we're going to be putting a lot of our effort on. But it's important to note that, you know, the company is pivoting and this development stage is done. We've achieved these primarily development stage goals, and now we are kind of focusing primarily on revenue generation, commercializing, improving our business model. And we do believe that once we can prove, you know, given our cost structure, get the revenue, and once we have, you know, prove that we have the viable business model and that we define that by showing our path to profitability, that's when we'll look to, you know, expand it much more aggressively on that front. So we look forward to that. I would also like to encourage that if anyone has any other questions, to please reach out via email to the investor relations at farmersciello.com. And also that I would encourage all shareholders to participate in our Q2 call at the end of the month where we can share a little more details on our Q2 results as well as some more go-forward plans where that'll be more of an open forum where we can have more questions that you have. And with that, I'll draw this to a conclusion. And I would like to say thank you once again for your time and I appreciate your support and participation in the company. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call for today. We thank you for participating and ask that you please disconnect your lines.